I suspect most of us like taking a trip. We like going on vacation, getting away, maybe on a morning like this, imagining being in some place warm and sunny. But I think most of us like that change of scenery, going to someplace new, experiencing a new place. More than just being relaxing or refreshing, though, I think journeys can renew us. They can change us. They can bring us to new and fresh places. And in the process, our perspective can be changed. Our gaze can be widened, as it were. I think it's no accident that there's an ancient Christian tradition of pilgrimage, of going to some holy site away from where one spends one's life. An act of traveling, but doing that rooted in prayer, and doing that in community with other pilgrims. The thing about a pilgrimage, and I have made one in my life, and I know this to be true, is that typically one returns from such a journey changed. One returns from a pilgrimage in a different place from where one left. That language of journey, of traveling, is often used to describe Lent. Lent can be seen as a journey. It's a season in which we undertake a holy journey. We get this in part from Jesus being in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights in prayer and in fasting, going away after his baptism, taking time apart, wrestling with temptations that come, and as we heard last week in the gospel, living with the wild beasts. That journey of Lent is a time to give up the familiar, the routine, maybe even to let go of what has perhaps become stagnant, and to set out on a different path, to travel to new places, to embrace new ways of being. Now, it may be true that most of us, at least, will not literally undertake a physical journey this Lent. We likely won't go on a literal pilgrimage. But I think the season offers an opportunity and a call for a journey of our spirit, a journey within our soul, to seek fresh experiences and practices, to be open to the working of God through our Lenten practices and disciplines, through prayer and fasting, to see where God is at work in our lives, to see what new things God is doing, to see perhaps what new things God is calling us to do. And also, the other side of that, to see what things God may be calling us to let go of, to give up, to not do anymore. Now, this journey of Lent is an opportunity. I've called it a gift in the past, which I think is true. But I think it can also be challenging. It might even be daunting, maybe a little scary. It can be very comfortable staying in the familiar. The familiar can also require little work. It just things go as they've been. We keep going as we have. We keep the routine going. We don't have to think much about it. But that can lead to staleness, and we can miss new things. And so this call of Lent is a call to live in a new way. But that can be scary, to think about letting go of things, to going to a place that's unfamiliar. We may be unsure how to begin. What even is that first step? And it may bring us face to face with things that are uncomfortable. I love that image of the wild beast. I think we can wrestle with our own wild beast within during the season of Lent. But like the pilgrimage, if we accept this journey, if we undertake this call God is extending to us, I am certain we will be changed. Our relationship with God will be deepened. We will follow God's call to conversion, to reorient our lives, to turn to a new direction, or even a new mindset. A mindset that puts God at the center in a new way, living by God's call through the power of the Holy Spirit. In our lesson this morning, we hear about Abram, who accepts such a call from God. And the interesting thing is, Genesis does not tell us why God chose him. We don't know if he's righteous, and so God chose him for that reason. We have no idea. But what we do know is that God calls Abram, who will later in Genesis be renamed Abraham, reflecting his new relationship with God. God calls him for reasons known only to God. And then God, as is true of all calls, gives Abram the desire, the strength, even the power to answer the call. There's a way in which God is less concerned about the past, about who one is, and much more interested in who one is becoming, where one is going. And so Abram is called, and the remarkable thing is, he accepts this call. He accepts the call of God to go to a whole new place, to be a whole new person, to journey into an unknown land. I find it remarkable. I don't know if I could quite do what Abram does, but he does it, trusting in God, trusting that he doesn't need to know the details and that he will know when he has arrived. He'll find out when he's there. The thing about this call to Abram is it comes at great cost. He has to leave that land where he has lived, the land of his father. He has to leave his family, his kin. That's always hard, but especially in a traditional society like his, that family group is the source of his identity, of his security, including his economic security. It is a group that protects him and keeps him safe. And Abram, in answering God's call, gives all that up. Gives it up for that promise of God. He trusts that God will be faithful. He trusts that God's promise to bless him will happen. That indeed, when he arrives in this land, his descendants will be like a mighty nation. So he trusts God to bless him, but then also, more than that, through him to bless others, to be a blessing for other people. And so Abram accepts that call, giving up everything, allowing God to use him, even in the uncertainty of the details. Following God's call and setting out into the unknown, we also see in our gospel today, in the story of Nicodemus. Nicodemus, who is invited by Jesus to leave behind the familiar, to let go of the known, the presumably comfortable, for a new way of life. Though Nicodemus doesn't quite do what Abram does, we don't see evidence of Nicodemus embracing this new life that Jesus is calling him. The gospel tells us Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night and says that he believes in Jesus, believes the signs that Jesus is doing. Those signs have to show that the presence of God is with Jesus. But it's interesting that Nicodemus comes at night. He's a powerful leader of the Jewish people, and maybe he's fearful of the consequences of being seen with Jesus. That could threaten his leadership position. But more than that, in John's gospel, we often hear night and day, dark and light, put in opposition to each other. Dark being the place of unbelief, light being the place of belief. And so Nicodemus comes to Jesus in night. He comes believing that God is with him, that God is active, the presence of God is with Jesus. But he doesn't understand. He doesn't understand what Jesus is about. He understands Jesus at a superficial, literal level, but not that deeper level. And so Nicodemus sees what Jesus does, but doesn't understand who Jesus is. And ultimately, Jesus is inviting him into a more mature faith, to be born again to a new life. But Nicodemus misses this. He thinks it means literally to be born again. How can I go back and be born, he asks. And his last words, how can this happen, are the last we hear of him. Except for the end of John's gospel when he reappears and with Joseph of Arimathea takes the body of Jesus, prepares it for burial, and buries it. And that happens at night. Nicodemus continues to be in the dark. So in our gospel, we have Jesus inviting Nicodemus to a new way of life, and I think inviting us also. We are invited to be born again, to be born anew, to be born from above by water and the Spirit. And of course, in this are echoes of baptism, whereby we die to the old life and rise to the new. We put on the identity of Jesus. We are incorporated into the body of Christ. And certainly that's a piece of this. But in John, the Spirit is also that abiding presence of Jesus that is with the followers of Jesus after his ascension, that allows the followers of Jesus to do the very work of Jesus in the world. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit that those followers of Jesus are utterly changed, that they go from being in that locked upper room in fear to go out into the world and proclaim Jesus crucified and resurrected, and do the very acts of Jesus, and even to give their lives as a witness for Jesus. And so, Jesus is inviting us to say yes to an abundant life, a life which is not like the life we know. It's a new life that's radically different from how we live, because it's a life walking in the light, walking in the day. It's a life trusting in God to provide for us and to go where God calls us, wherever God leads us, not knowing the way. Now, this passage is perhaps familiar to you and has been used by different Christians to mean different things. There are some for whom that question, "Are you born again?" refers to a particular moment, a particular time of conversion. I was thinking as I was reading this passage during the week of the signs that sometimes get held up at sporting events saying John 3:16, referencing that question, "Are you born again?" Now, of course, if someone is born again, that's a profound conversion experience. But I think Jesus is calling us to something that is throughout our life, not just for one moment. It's for every day. It's for each moment. It's for that invitation to live moment by moment, trusting in God, accepting God's call to us, to allow us to be converted bit by bit as we move through our lives by that indwelling, that abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, to allow the Spirit to move us to a mature and deep faith, a faith whereby we walk in the light of Christ, following where God would lead us, though we don't know the way, opening our hearts, using our imaginations and minds to be open to the presence of Jesus, and allowing ourselves to be changed, allowing God to show us the way to a deeper relationship with God, with others, with ourselves, that we might be recreated, renewed, and reborn. The other side of this call that we hear in today's gospel and also in the lesson in the story of Abram is an invitation to blessing. It's an invitation to acknowledge that God richly blesses us and to give thanks to God for the ways that we are blessed in having been created, been redeemed, the way God loves us and forgives us. It's that call to allow that blessing of the power of God's Spirit to shape and to form us, to give thanks for all that God gives us, which means everything that we need, and then to allow ourselves to be brought closer to God, to turn our lives over to God, walking this journey of Lent in the way that God would have us go wherever it takes us. But then the other side of that is that call to, just as we have been richly blessed by God, to allow ourselves to be a blessing to others, that we can live by God's love, that we can especially show God's love to the lost and forgotten, serving all in Jesus' name and not counting the cost, forgiving others, being merciful as God is merciful, that we can live ultimately by things that are above, placing our hope in them, trusting Jesus. So on this second Sunday in Lent, may we live by day. May we walk in that light of Christ and reflect that light to this world. And may we trust that God blesses us and will continue to bless us, and through us will bless others. Amen.